Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the campaign against living miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi everyone, Nick from Monkey Tennis here. Welcome to our surprise mini-episode. In it, we discuss what we know about this time with Alan Partridge, plus wild speculation and some predictions on what we think we'll see. Before we crack on, just a quick note to say that with quite a bit of new information coming off the back of Steve Coogan being on the promo trail for Stan and Ollie, and being asked about this time, we wanted to get this episode out quick sharp, and with your hosts being dotted around the country, we took to Skype as opposed to producer Jed's usual salubrious facilities, and as a result, the audio isn't quite up to our usual standard. But don't worry, it's perfectly good to listen to, and we hope you enjoy it. Please feel free to get in touch with your own speculation, which we may include in a future episode. Now, on with the podcast.
Aha! Damn!
Monkey tennis?
In no way, you big spastic, you're a mentalist! Damn!
That was just a noise.
Monkey tennis?
I got really drunk last night. Sick everywhere.
Monkey tennis?
Minor criticism, more distance between the eggs and the beans.
Monkey tennis?
I wish things had turned out differently, but I'm glad they didn't.
Monkey tennis?
Where's my assistant? I do not know.
You're a fucking, basically, beef tea.
Yeah.
Are you on an E?
Monkey tennis?
Back of the net.
Hello, commuters with your computers, and welcome to Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast, for a very special episode as new Partridge on the TV is imminent for the first time in Monkey Tennis history. I'm Adam Brooks, and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
Hello, I'm a communist with a gun. I hate you lot. I've just thrown the royal family out of a plane. Can I use your toilet?
Nick Alder.
If you told me 25 years ago that I'd be talking about rigid inflatable hulls with Dale Winton, I would have probably spat at you.
And Tom Stab.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
So.
I went with that because, like you said, Adam, we're recording this special episode on a Sunday.
Oh, so topical.
Yeah.
Seconds of thought has gone into that.
Literally a second of thought.
So this is a very special episode. We'd like to apologise to anybody listening to this any time past sort of the end of January 2019, when a lot of this information will be horrendously out of date. But for people who are on the ball with Partridge, we wanted to fill you in with everything we know and everything we think we know and everything we'd like to know about this time with Alan Partridge. Partridge's return to the BBC.
It's fair to say there's high potential we'll get a lot of things wrong as well.
Historically that's been accurate. We've got things wrong, so
about episodes that we've seen. We're trying to guess episodes we've not seen, so
it's just what we do.
If it ain't broke,
okay, let's start with what we know. So it's been confirmed that this is 6 30-minute episodes on BBC One this February. I saw there's an interview with Steve Coogan recently where it sounded like it was going to go out relatively late at night due to rude language.
Yeah.
So we're guessing around 9:30, 10 p.m. at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's gonna. I assume that's going to be post 9 p.m. Watershed. Do they do news at? Is it 9 o'clock news or 10 o'clock news on BBC One?
10 o'clock.
Is it 9 o'clock?
No, 10 o'clock.
Is that not ITV? Or is it both?
I don't know.
We need a broadcast expert. We don't have one.
There we go.
Luckily, we do have Google, so bear with, and I'll find out what time the news goes out.
In the meantime, brilliant. Let's look at who's back. So we know Alan is obviously involved.
We can work it out. We can identify the slot and then be proved wrong in about 3 weeks' time, probably.
Right. They'll probably move the news for Brexit just to scupper us.
I can confirm it's very much the news at 10 on BBC and ITV. They're both at 10 o'clock these days.
Okay. So our best guess is 9:30 for this then.
Yeah.
Who's back? Alan's back, we know, confirmed. Lynn's back, confirmed.
Yes.
I've heard rumours that Simon, Psychic Simon, may still be involved. And presumably Michael is still dead.
I reckon.
I'm pretty sure I've read that Simon is back somewhere. So I think that's been in print.
I think it makes sense from a character perspective to have Psychic Simon back. I also think it makes sense for the actor Tim Key to be involved, just because generally his trajectory is quite high, and to have him involved with the show is probably would be quite a good thing.
Yeah, and it's in keeping with Alan as a character, in that he brought Michael the Geordie with him to the radio station to work security in Alpha Papa. It would make sense that once he's trained or perhaps whipped into shape, accomplices, apprentices, he likes to bring them with him because he doesn't want to have to start from the ground up with fresh meat.
I mean, could you put a cynical spin on that, and that's because he struggles to forge new friendships and new relationships?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's absolutely that.
Question to the group. Of Partridge characters of the past, is there anyone else that you would like to see return? We have no insider information at all, so again, this is wild speculation. Is there anyone from the past that you would like to see come back?
Yes, I would like to see Jill turning up, telling Alan that he has fathered a son, and he's just not interested.
Now, that is...
I feel like...
She's outside the BBC...
That's reference to a fan theory that we had. Someone wrote in,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That actually Alan and Jill had actually had a child.
Yeah.
It's not so much a specific character, but the way that they'd be reintroduced. Because obviously this is a kind of topical magazine show, I presume there are going to be outside broadcast segments. It would be brilliant if Alan was just reporting about an issue in the town, and then a previous guest happened to go past. Maybe they've fallen on hard times, and they take this as an opportunity to put Alan right for some previous wrongs that he's done to them.
I'd like to see the two Irish TV executives returning and discussing how they basically don't want to buy the rights for this show in Ireland, so it will be denied an Irish broadcast.
Brilliant.
Well, because we do know as well, I think, from what we've seen online over the last... Because I think they've been shooting this for about a year. So the whole thing, one of the headlines being, it's essentially a magazine show, which is, give or take, essentially the one show. So there are going to be BT segments. So there's definitely the scope for Alan to bump into somebody on the streets of Soho, for example. Yeah, we can maybe talk about that in a bit, about the photos that have been seen online and stuff.
Yeah, I personally would like to see, you know how sometimes on these sort of magazine style shows they do sort of very awkward like food and drink tastings. So on Sunday brunch they have someone come in and sort of talk about beers and wines and things like that. I'd like to see a similar section on beers and wines and spirits, and in charge of that section is Dave Clifton.
It's more likely to be Rosie, though, isn't it?
Rosie Whittering. Yeah. I'm hoping you're going to get some scenes of Alan like walking the corridors of the BBC, or just having lunch in the canteen with Des Lynam, like some maybe ex-alumni from the BBC.
Do you think now that it's kind of big budget and it's BBC, they will have him interacting in some way with other real BBC shows? Do you
think he'll
stumble onto the set of
certainly
Doctor
presenters.
Who or something?
I would say that Coogan has got previous here. He in Saxondale played a number of the characters, so he has done it before.
Yeah.
And obviously but things like I'd kind of agree. It seems unnecessary for him to play two characters when he's already the lead role. But hey,
I was going to say as well, in terms of him bursting in on other BBC shows and interacting with kind of other BBC properties, if you like, do you think that that is Steve Coogan and the Gibbon brothers' style, or do you think they would kind of try and keep it pure Alan? And also, if they do have cameos from other kind of BBC celebrities, do you think that's likely to spoil the comedy or enhance it?
Well, it depends if they play ball, doesn't it, I guess. But then it's not going to be set up like a hidden camera. I don't know, because it's really interesting, because this has got the potential of the hallmarks of a Knowing Me, Knowing You type setup, where, so I don't know whether you'll just have the same cast of characters returning every week playing other characters, or will it be grounded in a bit more of a real world feel? It's hard to know which way it's going to end up, isn't it?
It's kind of been done really, hasn't it? The kind of presenter, you know, things like Comic Relief, where you might get a BBC presenter turn up and interact with a character from Mrs. Brown's Boys or from other sitcoms on the BBC. So they place real life presenters or real life people into those sketches and shows, and they can work and they cannot work. It's a bit done. So it makes me feel like if they were to do that, it's a little bit of, you know, old rope sort of thing.
It's a strange one.
Should we just briefly recap the headlines and what we do know? Because obviously Coogan has been on a massive media blitz over the last week or so.
Couldn't move for him last week.
I know. He's been on...
The Stan and Ollie and Alan-a-thon, yeah. Basically.
So he's been on The One Show, Graham Norton, Lauren Laverne, the Empire podcast, the Komodo Mayo podcast.
Mark Maron.
Other things. The Mark Maron podcast, which I think is where a lot of publications have got their headlines from. I mean, we'd never do anything like that. We've obviously thoroughly researched and got our own exclusive press releases issued. But yeah, so like we've covered, it's that 6 episodes, 30 minutes, BBC One from February. So again, we don't know, is it the first week of February? Is it the end of February? We know Lynn, we know about Psychic Simon. So the setup being that Alan is handed, I think Coogan keeps using this phrase, Alan's handed a career lifeline and he's parachuted in to cover for temporarily for a co-host on This Time who is ill. And I think those are the main headlines. But then Coogan has talked in other interviews about the subjects of some of the episodes as well. So I wondered, shall we just drop in a quick clip from The One Show that he was on last week? So for those people that are listening to the pod that haven't seen it, they can get up to speed with what Coogan's been saying.
Now, good news for all Alan Partridge fans. Alan is coming back to the BBC. And the other day, honestly, it was one of the highlights of my career.
Actually,
it was yesterday. I got an email from Alan Partridge. Honestly, I'm not kidding. This is what it said.
Dear Matt Baker, I'm Alan Partridge, and I'm delighted, or at least content, to invite you and a guest to a special preview screening of my brackets and BBC One's upcoming magazine show, This Time with Alan Partridge, brackets, my emphasis. The show marks my return to BBC television after 2 decades in various doldrums, brackets, depression, radio, Sky Atlantic. And you've been carefully selected because you're either a journalist with a pleasant disposition or a friend or representative of an institution with whom I currently hold no specific grudge.
It's happening. Steve, what is the story and what can we expect then?
Alan is returning to BBC in a magazine show on BBC One with a female co-presenter. And any resemblance to any existing BBC One show is purely coincidental. But we've taken a lot of inspiration from lots of shows, but it's Alan's parachuted in as a substitute presenter when the male presenter of our show, which is called This Time with Alan Partridge, is actually not called with Alan, it's just called This Time. But Alan gets his feet under the table pretty quickly, put it that way.
So there we go. There's a little insight into the content of this time. One thing I thought was interesting is we know that Alan is parachuted in to cover for a presenter who's become ill. We also know from Steve Coogan that one of the episodes centres around bereavement. So I don't want to be one to connect the dots, but you've got to wonder how Alan parlays one episode's guest presenting into a whole series. And I think the clue is that there is an episode about bereavement. I would be surprised if that wasn't the first or second episode setting us up for Alan's clear routes to BBC fame.
Yeah, second episode would make sense, I guess. Because, yeah, we know... So if there are six episodes, we know one is about Me Too, one is about bereavement. We don't know what the other four are about, do we? That is all to be revealed.
And I wonder if they are all about a specific theme each week. Is it going to be kind of this week on this time we're talking about this issue?
Issues.
Maybe they'll tackle a separate issue each week.
That's the way I assumed it would be. Each episode would be focused around an issue that Alan is able to reduce down to 30 minutes and deal with in a similar amount of time.
Have they said whether these shows are supposedly live or whether they're recorded? Do we know anything about that? Because obviously the potential with live television is that it can go very, very wrong. So it's an easy way. Yeah, it's very easy to, you know, to make stuff go wrong in what Alan's doing if it's live.
Well, if it is supposed to follow the conceit of being like the one show, then in theory, yes. And that's how they did Know Me, Knowing You. That was supposed to be a live show. And did anybody else think, actually, that one show clip? So obviously we just dropped in the audio there up to they then go to the clip of the aftermath of Alan shooting Forbes McAllister live on air. I thought that was quite an odd clip for the one show to air at like 7
It was a weird clip, wasn't it? Yeah.
Visible blood and panic.
I mean, I get and the context because obviously in the interview they're saying, well, last time Alan was on the BBC, this was what happened. But I've always thought that was quite a dark and shocking moment in the series, the way it was done. So for them to then cut to the one show and it's basically a supposedly live studio audience screaming, shouting, there's blood everywhere, I thought that was quite incongruous.
So, and also, even when they showed it originally, there was 25 minutes of comedic build-up. It wasn't like someone just got shot straight away.
It was almost like they were cutting some kind of documentary footage. It was quite weird. But then, that, to be honest, that is kind of classic one show. Like, the programme is always full of, people call it kind of like handbrake moments. So you'll go from one item to the next, and they never really match up. So you'll be like, oh, and now they're, look at these lovely cute pandas in London Zoo. Now, when John found out he had leukemia, and it's just, you're just like, what the fuck? And there's a lot of potential for comedy gold in the show itself if this time apes the one show that closely as well.
There's a nice bit of insight from Coogan in the Empire podcast that I listened to in preparation for this, which isn't necessarily about this time, but something you just mentioned there. The way Knowing Me, Knowing You ends is obviously with the death of Forbes McAllister, so it's quite a morbid, like, full stop to the end of that episode.
Yeah.
And also the end of I'm Alan Partridge series 2. Obviously, he gets his book pulped, and that's quite a sad ending. The ending to the first series of Mid-Morning Matters, he obviously confesses his love for, I forget her name.
Zoe,
who, you know, he kind of rejected, and that's left quite a sad ending. Yeah. Coogan says in that interview with Empire that he really likes comedies or writing comedy that ends on a really sad sort of low note where you're kind of left going, is that the ending? Is that so? Right. He purposefully writes his comedy so that it ends on quite a morbid low note. And that's not something I'd necessarily noticed thematically in Alan Partridge until he mentioned that. And then you just mentioned that made me think, oh, actually, there is a theme through Alan is that, you know, obviously he's a tragic character. That pretty much every series that he's in ends on quite a morbid note.
Yeah, they do sign off on a poignant moment,
yeah,
don't they?
And that's obviously something that Coogan does on purpose.
Yeah, I guess there's always...
It's almost like they planned it.
Yeah, there's always a strong element of pathos as part of the character, but I think it's very interesting the way the series endings are always quite downbeat like that, definitely.
Now, my question about the makeup of the show, we obviously talked about the fact we're not entirely sure if it's supposedly broadcast as live or not, is that we obviously know Lynn's involved. Now, Lynn, apart from a brief stint on local news, is not a presenter of any stripe. So do we think there's going to be a sort of backstage Larry Sanders Curb Your Enthusiasm type element alongside seeing Alan on screen, and that's how they crowbar Lynn in? Because otherwise, what's she going to do? Like, wander onto the set?
Yeah.
So I would agree that you're clearly not going to see Lynn as any kind of presenter that's getting camera time. But surely you're going to see behind the scenes footage or Alan in the dressing room getting makeup prepared. And I feel like that's the scene where you're going to start to see.
It's going to have to be, isn't it? There's no viable way for. I feel like it wouldn't really make narrative sense for her to be in front of the camera either. So, but that's the sort of stuff I'm most excited about seeing.
Massively.
It is a Larry Sanders style vibe. I think that'd be great. I'm also just very excited about having Lynn and sidekick Simon in Vision in the same show. So obviously Mid-Morning Matters, she's been referenced, like he phones her, but to actually have those two characters together, because I'm willing to bet they're not going to get on.
And I don't think they didn't share a scene in Alpha Papa either, did they? I don't think they were ever in the same place at the same time, as far as I can remember.
No, I don't think so.
No.
We're quite likely to get that wrong, so I'm sure somebody will tell us. But I guess because Simon spends most of that film just tied up in the studio, doesn't he? So.
Yeah. If it was up to me, and I must stress that it isn't, a half-hour show that, as we've just talked about, often ends on a, you know, Partridge often ends on a poignant moment, it would make sense for there to be effectively a 20-minute live this time, and then a sort of 10-minute him and Lynn in the dressing room kind of talking through who to blame for what's going on, and various execs kind of dropping in and slagging him off, etc. That's kind of what I'm imagining.
I can almost vision like the scene at the beginning of the episode where you'll see Alan like at the side of the stage, you know, like kind of checking his watch nervously. And then, you know, applause goes, and then you see Alan walk on stage, and then that's the point when it kind of cuts to a sort of traditional setup. And the final, maybe 5 or 10 minutes, as you say, could be the reflection period with Lynn, where, you know, Alan's saying, "Oh, did it go well?" And then being forced to say, "Yes." I assume, and again, it's not up to me, but I assume the episode will not go without problems or a hitch.
So just to confirm, Nick, it's not up to you.
I don't think it's up to me or Adam, but you two haven't confirmed whether it's up to you two. So
it could be up to me and Tom.
It could be. Yes.
Nice. No, it's definitely up to us. I'm just so excited to have Lynn back. I just think it's going to be brilliant. It's like having Robbie back in Take That.
Do you think her hair will still look like an explosion?
I can only hope so. Yeah.
And do we reckon Alan will walk on stage and say, "Aha"?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's been parachuted in, that's the phrase. I wonder if it might be the thing where throughout the 6 episodes, we see a gradual slide of him trying to make it more of Alan's show. So, you know, the thing like in Naomi Knowing You, that they made his name and the sign bigger week by week.
Yes.
Is it going to be he's trying to make it all about him more and more week by week? I'd imagine so.
In terms of the name of the show, as we heard earlier in the one show clip, there was a letter sent out from Alan to various journalists inviting them to a screening at the end of January that basically said, "You're invited to come and see This Time with Alan Partridge." With Alan Partridge was in italics, and it then said, "Emphasis mine." So whether that is the official title or whether he's trying to shoehorn it in, we're yet to find out.
Oh, no, that's a really good point, actually, of course, because he's been parachuted into the show that is already called This Time.
Yes.
So obviously he has retitled it This Time with Alan Partridge, maybe officially or unofficially, kind of like The One Show is The One Show, but if he was hosting it, it would be The One Show with Alan Partridge. Yes, that makes perfect sense.
I also like that I believe the name of the show is This Time. Currently it's not This Time with and then the names of the current presenters. So
that changes.
It's not like he's trying to just change someone's name for his. He's trying to add his name in where there's never been one before.
Which is perfect, Partridge.
Yes.
Classic Partridge.
Shall I just talk you through a few of the photos that have been doing the rounds online over the last few months? Because it might warrant a bit of further discussion in terms of where Alan's been seen doing VTs and what have you. The photos that I've seen circulating online over the last few months whilst they've been filming. So it looked to me like the first few weeks or months of filming they did was all on location stuff. So there are lots of shots of them in Soho. So he's kind of like near adult shops and things like that. And also he's at the cholera pump in Soho? So it's the pump where people were dying of cholera.
In the John Snow pub.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Right outside there. And then also, I think Neil Gibbons posted some shots from the edit suite, maybe towards the end of last year. One of them features Alan, what looks like a superimposed Alan in a Petri dish. So I did wonder, is maybe one of the episodes going to be about diseases or something like that?
Yep, quite possibly. Certainly, at the very least, a health-themed episode. Yeah. I can imagine them squeezing a lot of value out of.
Unless that also ties like, into bereavement. Who knows?
It looks a bit like a graphic that you'd see on the day-to-day with Chris.
Yeah, that's
on, like,
yeah, that's what I thought. So yeah, if you for those that haven't seen it on the feed from Neil Gibbons, it's kind of, you've got what looks like a miniature Alan inside a Petri dish with some kind of culture growing. And yeah, like Nick says, it looks like it's straight out of Brass Eye, basically. The other photos I've seen, a few studio shots and like things like a This Time mug and stuff. But what I thought was most intriguing is there seemed to be some kind of Rolls Royce full of cheerleaders. So I wondered, is that going to tie into the Me Too episode or something? Or is that how Alan is going to make his studio entrance? Maybe his studio entrance is going to get more elaborate week on week. We don't know.
He's certainly a fan of a troupe of dancing girls. We all know about the incident with Pan's People that he confessed to as part of a conversation about Operation Yew Tree. And he's had many dancers more in the Know Me, Knowing You days, I guess, because it's a TV show.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will be a return of that, but with a sort of him trying to put an ironic slant on it to make it more okay in 2019.
Well, has anyone got the quote that he has on Marc Maron from about the supposed Me Too episode?
Yeah, I've got that in front of me, actually. So, yeah, Coogan, where in an interview with Marc Maron, said, what we try and do is we have him try to jump on the bandwagon and he'll say something like, hey, I've made mistakes. I've stood on the side of a sidewalk and slow clapped whilst I watch a woman trying to parallel park, you know, and I feel bad about that. Now, if I saw a woman doing it, I would shout instructions. So you can see he's trying to be righteous and getting it wrong, which I think is very much in keeping with the way the character's developed over the years, definitely.
Yeah, there's a nice section, not to plug other podcasts endlessly, but once we're done with us, there's a nice section in the Steve Coogan, Marc Maron WTF episode where he's talking about Partridge's evolution from someone who doesn't care about doing the right thing to someone who is constantly trying and failing to do the right thing. Also, it's worth a listen to that just for Steve Coogan's inexplicable mid-Atlantic accent.
It's astonishing.
I mean, splitting hairs.
The only thing I can put it down to is that it must have been recorded while he was in America, obviously, but had been in America for a prolonged period of time, because there's no way you just drop into that podcast.
Well, I mean, basically, I hope so, because otherwise there's just no excuse for it.
It's very
I mean,
odd.
He hasn't sounded like that on The One Show or Norton or anything, so
no.
Hopefully that is why.
Just hanging on to a little bit of the Stan and Ollie accent, perhaps.
There is another good quote that I might as well just read from the Maron interview. Coogan said, early on we made Alan too predictably conservative. It was a bit like shooting fish in a barrel caricature. Whereas now we do him as someone who realises he's got to get on message and he's struggling to do the thing he's supposed to do. And I think that really perfectly encapsulates where the character's gone over the last few series of shows.
And arguably, I think that's funnier. That's a positive sort of evolution of the character.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, definitely. And also, they've got to keep him just on the right side of acceptable. Mm. I think there are arguably some parts of Know Me, Knowing You that you watch now and you think, even as an ironic character, some of this is probably wouldn't go out in the same way in 2019 as it did back then.
Yeah. I also wonder what the kind of commissioning conversations were with this. So was there a conversation that said, if the show is popular, we'll give it a second series? And then also, is there some kind of narrative joke about the show getting a second series or possibly not getting a second series, essentially where life and art imitate themselves simultaneously?
Yeah.
I'm very
interested in what happens in the last episode, whether they will repeat a kind of inexcusable bombshell from which he can't come back,
yes,
like they did at Know Me, Knowing You, or whether it's just more of a, yeah, you're hanging on by the skin of your teeth and we may see you again on this show.
Obviously, we're kind of wildly speculating, but if it is in line with what we think the show will be, it feels like it could work live. So if Steve ever wanted to take it on the road, I don't know if he would ever want to do something like that. It feels like you could take this kind of roadshow magazine feel out to the general public, you know, all around the country. So I wonder if we'd ever see a live show of this time.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a bit like the segment in The Man Who Thinks He's It, the live tour from, I think, 98 that Coogan did, where there was half an hour of Alan in that. And that was Alan doing a chat with somebody from the audience and stuff. So it definitely worked. That's really good Partridge. So, yeah, would be keen.
Yeah, I mean, this is the equivalent of the BBC giving Jeremy Clarkson a talk show, which, let's be honest, they would never do. ITV, on the other hand, I'm sure would be...
Well, he's hosting Who Wants to Be a Millionaire now.
Yeah, they've given him a quiz show.
True.
But again, I think that's going to be a lot of the fun to watch as this series develops, is to see that thing. You know, Alan's been given an opportunity to step in as a co-host, in theory, maybe for 1 week. And then what we do know, what Coogan has talked about, is that host then dies. And that's how he gets to retain, so for at least the 6 weeks that we see. So it will be really interesting to see how that all plays out. I'm very excited about it. I think it sounds like they've come up with a great conceit, the reasoning to get him back on the BBC. And it's like, I think something we've probably talked about ages ago now when this was first announced, which was back in 2017, I think it was, the whole thing about there's a way that makes sense for Alan to be on the BBC because he's representing Brexiteers and that kind of part of the nation that the BBC didn't really understand. So
yeah,
but I think it makes sense that they haven't just gone, Alan, have a show, because that would be quite an unbelievable narrative where it's like, oh, Alan, you'll do because you probably appeal to the viewers and you're the only person available for a week. Makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Are we confident that this will be good?
Yes, I'm pretty confident.
Yes.
It's going to have Lynn and Simon. I'm sold on that alone. Yeah,
I think the Gibbons have proved their worth as well with the output that they've kind of given us. I think they've proved their writing chops, and I think it's in pretty safe hands.
Is this the first Alan TV since the second series of Mid Morning Matters?
That first series, obviously there's been specials.
Yeah, there's been specials.
Yeah, but first TV, yeah. So series since 2012.
This will be the first thing since Scissor Dial.
Yeah.
and also crucially, the first Alan series to be broadcast since the creation of the very podcast you're listening to now.
Yes.
Which is why we're very excited and thought it warranted an episode of Wild Speculation and Pre-Game. But also we should talk a little bit about how we're going to run Monkey Tennis while this time goes out on the airwaves. So a couple of things. Firstly, we will be doing recording episodes each week, so they'll be coming to you in more or less real time, as close to real time as we can handle, but you'll be getting an episode of Monkey Tennis in between each episode of this time. We also have an all-new phone line, the Monkey Tennis hotline.
What? Yeah. Tell us more, then. What is it?
Well, now that we're able to respond to feedback a little quicker than usual because of the nature of this time going out on telly, we thought it'd be nice if people wanted to get in touch, leave us a voicemail, and we'll put the best ones on future episodes and answer as many of your questions, address your theories, and you can blow our minds with either A, facts, or B, things we fucked up.
And it will mostly be ringing off the hook.
So should I tell the listeners what that phone number is?
Absolutely, tell the listeners what that phone number is.
You're probably sat there listening, how do I get in touch? Well, you can call 07923 600 017. That's 07923 600 017.
As you can tell, we've paid top dollar for a memorable, easy to remember premium number there.
Call 0800 Coogan now.
So yes, please do get in touch. Obviously, you can get in touch in all the usual ways, which we'll recap at the end of the episode as well.
And with the phone line, I was going to say, so we're going to have that open so you can leave us a voicemail and we can play you in. But also, that number is now available on WhatsApp, so you can also leave a voice note via the medium of WhatsApp.
Contemporary references you've come to know and love from us.
So, basically that line, that hotline, is going to be open for voicemails and WhatsApp voice notes.
There are hot and sexy monkey tennis ice in your area, and they want to chat to you.
God. And the final element of
people have ideas for a poll that they can leave a voicemail.
No, any ideas
for polls will be ignored.
Okay. Polls are banned. The other element of future episodes of Monkey Tennis will be, now that we've obviously got an episode of this time coming each week, each of us is going to try and guess each week something that will happen in the following week's episode, and then we'll toss up the scores and crown one of us as a champion at the end of the series. So if anybody would like to join me now for the first game of Predictor Partridge, we're looking for something that is not obvious, something that is not completely obscure, but something that you think will happen in the first episode of this time. I'm happy to kick off if you like. I'm going to say that Alan's level of professionalism is going to be so low that he will receive a phone call whilst broadcasting on air.
Oh, I like it. Shall I go with mine?
Yep.
This is more character-based. So I'm going to predict in episode one, we're not going to see Sidekick Simon, but we will see Lynn.
Okay, like that.
So I'm happy to go next, and I'm going to predict that a guest will walk off stage midway through an interview because Alan has upset them.
Very likely.
Solid.
Tom Stab?
Yep, and my prediction is that Nick won't watch the first episode.
How dare you?
In all seriousness, I think my prediction is that buttocks will be seen.
It's happened before. Wow. It could happen again.
In episode one,
I'm going for absolute buttocks in episode one.
I mean, it's a waste of a post watershed slot if you don't have a couple of bum cheeks in there.
please let there be bums.
So that's the end of our first Predictor Partridge. You'll be able to join us. Obviously, we're at the time of recording, we're not 100% sure of the date that the first episode will go out, but rest assured, we'll be following it swiftly with a Monkey Tennis, and we'll let you know how our Predictor Partridges got on and who's where on the leaderboard. Is there anything else to talk about in terms of this time and Alan in general?
Yeah, I just had a quick thing that Coogan said on the Empire podcast. To go back to my point, the question I asked, are we confident that we think this will be good? Steve said, it's definitely as funny as the first series of I'm Alan Partridge and better than the second series, and its best moments are up there with the day-to-day. So obviously he's confident that what they've produced is good.
Yeah,
you'd hope so.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. No, that's really interesting, because I feel like a lot of the creators of Partridge, when they look back at it now, I feel like they are quite down on I'm Alan Partridge Series 2 in comparison to Series 1. So if he's setting Series 1 as the benchmark, I think that's a very positive indication.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our wild speculation and probably the end of the final episode before new Partridge hits the BBC. So thank you for listening to Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. I'm now going to run you through all the ways you can contact us without making a single mistake first time. On Twitter, it's @ThePartridgePod, facebook.com/ThePartridgePod. On Instagram, it's MonkeyTennisPod, and the phone number is 07923 600 017. That Monkey Tennis hotline again, 07923 600 017.
Nailed it.
I believe I got all that right.
Yep. Smash
well
it.
Done.
There we go. So nothing else to do but leave you guys until we've all blessed with new Partridge. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. See
ya. Aha!
Damn!
Monkey tennis?
In no way, you big spastic, you're a mentalist! Damn!
No, that was just a noise.
Monkey tennis?
I got really drunk last night. Sick everywhere.
Monkey tennis?
Minor criticism, more distance between the eggs and the beans.
Monkey tennis?
I wish things had turned out differently, but I'm glad they didn't.
Monkey tennis?
Where's my assistant? I do not know.
You're a cracking.
Basically, beef tea.
Yeah.
Are you on an E?
Monkey tennis?
Back of the net.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.